Amen. Thank you so much, Brother and Mrs. Holloway. Boy, I tell you what, it's kind of, I don't know about a preacher that can sing. You know, that's because I can't. My wife and kids all sing, and they'd say, hey, how about me singing? They'd say, no, Dad, you just preach. It's okay. You just preach. Don't worry about the singing part. Take your Bibles, please, and turn with me to Leviticus, if you would, chapter 21. Leviticus chapter 21 this evening. I'm going to take the lid off this water here so I can get some occasionally. Leviticus chapter 21, we're going to begin reading at verse 16 of this passage of Scripture. Tonight I want to preach a message entitled The Message of the Messenger of the Church. Last night we preached a message on the message of the church. We have a manuscript that has a message. Now we need a messenger. And so we want to take our text from this passage in Leviticus chapter 21. If you would please stand with me, if you're physically able to do so, I would appreciate it. We're going to read verse 16 down through verse 24 of this passage, and you please follow along as I read. The Bible says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto Aaron, saying, Whosoever he be of thy seed that in their generation that hath any blemish, let him not approach to offer the bread of his God. For whatsoever man he be that hath a blemish, he shall not approach, a blind man, or a lame, or he that hath a flat nose, or anything superfluous, or a man that is broken-footed, or broken-handed, or crook-backed, or a dwarf, or that hath a blemish in his eye, or be scurvy or scabbed, or hath his stones broken. No man that hath a blemish of the seed of Aaron the priest shall come nigh to offer the offerings of the Lord made by fire. He hath a blemish, he shall not come nigh to offer the bread of his God. He shall eat the bread of his God, both of the most holy and of the holy, only he shall not go in under the veil, nor come nigh unto the altar, because he hath a blemish, that he profane not my sanctuaries, for I the Lord do sanctify them. And Moses told it unto Aaron and to his sons and to all the children of Israel." Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the Old Testament. We thank you, Lord, for the principles that are found there and how they impact our lives. And we thank you for the truth there. We believe that the Holy Spirit put this in the Bible for our edification. And so, Father, we pray that tonight you'd help us to learn some principles that are found in this passage that will help us be the messengers that we ought to be for the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, it may be there are those here tonight that have never trusted Christ as their Savior. I pray, Lord, that you'd help them to see their need of trusting the Lord Jesus this evening. Lord, I pray for us as believers. Lord, there is not one of us, not one of us that are saved in this place tonight that are living for you the way we ought to. There's things that we can improve upon, and I pray that you would speak to our hearts and show us those things that we might be a better servant, that we might be a better messenger in this town and in the towns in which we live. We thank you for Pastor and Mrs. Holloway for bringing them here to this place. And Father, we pray that you will give them a group of people around them that will carry the message of salvation from the Word of God to this community, and a lighthouse can be built here that will stand for many, many years till Jesus comes, that will preach the gospel and send messengers from this place around the world with the gospel to reach folks for the Lord Jesus. Bless our time this evening. May it be profitable. Help us that are saved to grow and change, to become more like Christ. And for those who are here that do not know Christ as Savior, Lord, we pray tonight that they would be saved. Now, Lord, give me the strength. Give me the clarity of speech that I need tonight to speak. And I pray that you would use me in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. The manuscript of the church leads to the message of the church, which leads to a messenger. A lot of times when I talk about this, some people think I'm going to talk about the pastor. The pastor is not the messenger of the church, he's the pastor of the church. But those of us who carry the message from the Word of God to this community, we are to be the messengers of the church. We have a message that we are to carry, and the Lord needs some messengers to carry it. And we find that in the Old Testament, the Levitical priesthood were the ones who were to offer up the sacrifices in the tabernacle. From this passage that we have here, the Lord is giving to Moses some rules and qualifications that needed to be followed for the Old Testament priest. And in the passage which we have read, there are some things that disqualified someone from going into the tabernacle to offer up a sacrifice. Now, this was a physical sacrifice that they had to make. And this was for the Levitical priesthood. And so there were some qualifications that are found here in this passage. And if there were those who were of the seed of Aaron that were of the Levitical priesthood that had these problems, they couldn't go in and offer up the sacrifices. And the reason for that is found down in these verses. Please notice what it says in verse 21. No man that hath a blemish of the seed of Aaron the priest shall come nigh to offer the offerings of the Lord made by fire, for he hath a blemish. He shall not come nigh to offer the bread of his God. He shall eat the bread of his God, both of the most holy and the holy. Now, he could eat the bread. He could still be a part of the Levitical priesthood. He just couldn't go in and offer up the sacrifices. Now, here's the reason. Verse 23. Only he shall not go in under the veil, nor come nigh under the altar. Here's the reason. Because he hath a blemish. He could eat the bread, but he couldn't go in and offer up the sacrifices because he had a blemish. Now, why is that important? Well, look what it says. Look what it says in this verse of Scripture. In verse 23, Only he shall not go in under the veil, nor come nigh to the altar, because he hath the blemish, that he profane not my sanctuaries, for I, the Lord, do sanctify them. And that word sanctify means to set apart. This was something special. And because it was special, there was supposed to be a difference between the holy and the unholy. Passage after passage is mentioned like this. I don't have time to turn to all of them, but turn back to Leviticus chapter 10 and notice what it says in verse 9. And this is, by the way, for the priesthood again. The Lord spake unto Aaron, saying, do not drink wine or strong drink, thou nor thy sons with thee, when ye go into the tabernacle of the congregation, lest ye die. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generations. Now, the Levitical priesthood in the Old Testament, when they went into the tabernacle, they were not to drink strong drink or wine when they went in. Now, here's the reason. Look at the next verse for the reason for that. Verse 10. That ye may put a difference between the holy and the unholy, and between the unclean and the clean. He said, I, the Lord, do sanctify them. He said, there's a difference between the holy and the unholy, between the clean and the unclean. Now, the Old Testament Levitical priest is the one who offered up a physical sacrifice. Now, who does that in the New Testament? As Baptists, we believe in what we call the priesthood of the believer. We believe that every person that's saved is a member of the priesthood. You say, well, where do you get that from? Well, we get it from 1 Peter chapter 2. You might want to turn there with me to that passage. Now, put your finger in Leviticus, because we're coming back there. Now, I'm going to put something there because I'm trying to hold this microphone. But I want you to go to 1 Peter chapter 2 and look at verse 5. 1 Peter chapter 2 and look at verse 5 to see what it says. Now, in the Old Testament, we had this priesthood that they were the Levitical priests, the sons of Aaron. In the New Testament, here's what the Bible says. Ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Now, in the Old Testament, they offered up a physical sacrifice. Is that correct? Yeah, okay. What are we supposed to offer up in the New Testament? Spiritual sacrifices. Now, in the Old Testament, they were a literal priest. In the New Testament, we are a spiritual priest offering up spiritual sacrifices. Now, who are these spiritual priests? Those of us that are saved. That's what he's saying here in this passage. Ye also, talking to the saved, as lively stones are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Those of us that are the messengers of the church, we're carrying this message. Wherefore, look at verse 6, also it is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you, therefore, which believe, he is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner. and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto ye also were appointed. Now look at verse 9, what he says in verse 9. But ye are a chosen generation, he's talking about the saved, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. Now notice why we are that. That ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. What's he doing? He's making the difference between the unholy and the holy. Look, I am tired of what churches are teaching these days. There is supposed to be a difference in the Christian from the unsaved. We're supposed to be different than what they are. We're not supposed to look like them. We're not supposed to act like them. We're not supposed to talk like them. We're not supposed to drink like them. We're supposed to be different. And this crowd of churches that say it's okay to live like the world and be like the world and you can still be a Christian, my friend, you can't be that kind of Christian and live like that. Not according to God. You say, but my preacher says. Well, guess what? Your preacher is wrong. He is dead wrong. And they're leading you down the garden path. These churches. And I'll tell you what, I am so steamed about this thing. Is tick the word they use up here? I use that in West Virginia. I'm from West Virginia. Originally born in West Virginia. I'm just plain ticked about this thing. It amazes me the number of Christians that think they can be a messenger for the Lord Jesus Christ and live like the devil at the same time. He said, look, there's supposed to be a difference between the holy and the unholy. You say, oh, Brother Jessup, you just read one verse. Well, go back to Leviticus and take a look at a couple of more. Let's look at chapter 11, verse 46. It's the law of the beast, the law of the fowl, of every living creature which moveth with the waters, which every creature which creepeth upon the earth, to make a difference between the unclean and the clean, and between the beast that may be eaten and the beast that may not be eaten. Go with me to Isaiah chapter 5. And I'm going to have to turn to those. I don't have these verses written down. I got most of them written down here in my Bible. But Isaiah chapter 5 and verse 20. Look at what that verse says. Woe to him that calleth evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, and bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe to them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. It's pretty clear. The Bible says, look, there needs to be a difference between the holy and the unholy, between the clean and the unclean. You're right there in Isaiah. Flip over just a few pages to Ezekiel chapter 44 and notice what he says in this passage. Ezekiel 44. It may not be marked in this Bible. I'm reading through this Bible for a grandchild, as I do each year for one of my grandchildren. I haven't gotten this far in this one. Ezekiel 44, verse 23. And they shall teach my people the difference between the holy and the profane, and cause them to discern between the unclean and the clean. Listen. Thank God you've got a preacher in this town that's going to stand in this pulpit and say, look, there is a difference between right and wrong, and I'm going to stand for that, no matter who stands on the other side. You'd say, well, Bobby, that's not what I bargained for. Then this probably isn't for you. This church probably isn't for you. You see, like I said the first night, we're just giving you an opportunity to test drive this thing. You may not want to get on board. Because this church believes that we as Christians, as messengers of the church, ought to be different than that crowd that walks out there. We got enough churches that says it's okay to be that way. And we need somebody that says it's not okay. And it's not a matter of a preacher saying that, it's a matter of what God says. So let's look at what God says in His Word. Let's look, go back with me to Leviticus chapter 21. And notice what disqualified the Old Testament priest. Notice what disqualified them. from serving in the tabernacle. And what we're going to do is we're going to take these traits of the Old Testament priest that were blemishes for the Old Testament priest, and we're going to apply them to New Testament Christianity, to those of us that are saved here tonight. Or to everybody here. Look at verse 18. I'll read verse 17 again. Speak unto Aaron, saying, Whosoever he be of thy seed and their generations that hath any blemish, let him not approach the offer of the bread of his God. For whatsoever man he be that hath a blemish, he shall not approach. Now that means he can't offer up. In the Old Testament it was a physical sacrifice. In the New Testament it is a spiritual sacrifice. You know what that means? That means we can't be the messenger we ought to be if we've got these kind of problems in our life. And you know what that means? That means we need to get these problems taken care of in our life. That's what he's saying. First of all, blind. He said, if an Old Testament priest is blind, he can't go in and offer up the sacrifices. That seems pretty elementary, doesn't it? I mean, he wouldn't be able to see to do it. Well, when you look at the New Testament, here's what the Bible says about that, about being blind in the New Testament. It says, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3. You're just going to have to listen to these verses. You might want to write these down and read them later, because I don't have time to spend. In fact, I better take my watch off so I don't go well over. I'll probably go over, but not well over. In verse 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. I'll tell you, listen, you cannot be a messenger for the Lord Jesus Christ and this church if you're not saved. Isn't it? Listen, the fact is we have people in our churches that go to church, that have gone to church all their life, that have never been born again. When I was pastoring in Winnipeg, Brother Stastny, you talked about this Sunday morning, about this praying a prayer thing. You know, people just say, they pray a prayer and that, they think that does it. When I got to Winnipeg, they would say, well, he prayed the prayer and she prayed the prayer and so on. And about 3 years into our ministry there, we had a youth conference at our church, and one of our teenage girls came forward and she was struggling with salvation. And a preacher took her and said, well, I just had her pray the prayer again. And that just didn't sit well with me. And that Sunday night, I got up and I preached on assurance of salvation. Now I don't have time to tell the whole story, how God worked in hearts. And that week, we had 11 church members trust Christ as their Savior. 11 church members who had prayed a prayer, but really weren't born again. I want to ask you a question. Are you saved tonight? Do you know that you're saved? Has there been a time and place where you asked Jesus Christ to come into your heart and forgive your sins? You say, well, I must be saved. I've done this and I've done that. Listen, that's a work salvation. The only thing that's going to save you is the blood of Jesus Christ. At a point in time in your life where you placed your faith in Christ, that's all that will do it. Are you saved? Listen, if you're not saved, you cannot be a messenger for Jesus Christ. Secondly, I want you to notice, not only could he not be blind, he could not be lame. Look at this verse of scripture. Whatsoever man he be that hath a blemish, he shall not approach a blind man or lame. Now, a person that is lame has a problem with walking. We've seen them. You know, it may be a hip problem or something like that, or a leg problem, and they're walking with a cane or something like that, or a crutch or something. Listen, in the Old Testament, where there was an Old Testament priest that was like that, he couldn't go into the tabernacle till that was corrected. You say, well, what in the world has that got to do with me? Well, the Bible says this in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with longsuffering and forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. I'll tell you what the problem is. There are a lot of Christians that don't walk right out there, day to day. When we get out there, going to the store. How many here have ever horn cussed? Come on, be honest. You know what a horn cuss is, don't you? Brother Hawkins, I know you've horn cussed. I've been with you. You know, when somebody pulls out in front of you, you hit the horn? That's called a horn cuss. You know? Yeah, be honest. I have. Yep, there you go. Got that preacher back there. Raise his hand. Yep. You know,
That black kid pulled out in front of me. Ah!
Now, I know you've had to hit your horn a few times in order to keep somebody from hitting you. Yeah, I've had to do that, but a few times. Haven't we blown the horn when we shouldn't have? My wife says, now, honey, preacher, these preachers' wives, boy, you got to watch them. Now, honey, remember, do you remember who you are? I tell you what, we got to walk carefully, don't we? We got to walk right. Why? Because we represent the Lord Jesus Christ 24/7. 24/7. Every moment of every day, we are to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God. And if we don't walk right, we're lame. And if we're lame, we are disqualified from offering up a spiritual sacrifice. We are to walk worthy of the vocation wherewith we are called. Thirdly, I want you to notice, please, he could not have a flat nose. Look at what it says in that verse. It says, a blind man or lame or he that hath a flat nose. You say, Brother Jessup, what in the world does that mean? Well, you see, the Israelites had been in Egypt for 400 years. They had come out of Egypt. And there was something, and I don't mean any disrespect here, but there's something distinctive about a pure-blooded Jew. Do you know what it is? It's his nose. His nose makes him distinctive. And this indicates, a flat nose indicated that there had been intermarriage between the Levite and the Egyptians. Now, Egypt is a type of the world. And here's what the Bible says in the New Testament. Love not the world, 1 John chapter 2, verse 15. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. My friend, listen. We cannot love the world and offer up a spiritual sacrifice. You know why? We got a flat nose. We got a flat nose. And in the Old Testament, if the Levitical priest had a flat nose, God said, you can't go in and offer up sacrifices. And I'm telling you what, we as believers think we can run around and hold hands with the world and live like the world and think we can still serve God and be faithful. But God says we can't. We got to be the right kind of messenger. And that worldliness in our lives disqualifies us from offering up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God as found in 1 Peter chapter 2. Now, I want you to notice what else it says. I need to hurry along here. In the next verse it says, or excuse me, in that verse it says, the end of the verse, it says, is there anything superfluous? Anything superfluous. Now, the word superfluous means excessive. I preached this message a number of times, and one of the illustrations, Brother Sikansky is here from Regina, that I use when I talk about this was an incident that took place with Brother and Mrs. Sikansky. When we helped them plant the church in Regina, I wanted to get a picture of the city. Well, you know how flat Regina is. And so we decided we would go to the Rough Riders football game. And we got tickets to the Rough Riders football game, and they were up quite high, and I got a beautiful picture of the city of Regina just as the sun was going down. It was a gorgeous picture. While we are sitting there, this kid walks up the aisle, and he has the greenest hair you have ever seen. Do you remember that, Brother Sikansky? He walked up the aisle. I was sitting on the aisle. The Sikansky was sitting there. So as this kid walks up beside me, I looked at him and I said, bad hair day, eh? I mean, you know, I know why he had green hair. He was rooting for the Saskatchewan Rough Riders. I mean, you know, he was. But the only thing that stood out about him was his hair. You could have picked him out of the whole crowd. You've seen them on TV when you've been watching a baseball game. You've seen those kind of hockey games. You've seen those kind of people. I don't know why this happened to me. I don't know why I said it. It just came out before I could stop it. I was in a restaurant. I was looking at the menu. And this girl came up to wait on me.
And she had stuff stuck out all over her face. I mean, there was stuff stuck here and through her nose. And I mean, it was all over. And I don't know why I said it, but I looked up from the menu. And the first words out of my mouth were this. That had to hurt. I mean, she had stuff stuck everywhere. It would not have been difficult to pick her out of a crowd.
That's superfluous. Anything that stands out and takes away from the Lord Jesus Christ ought to be removed from our lives. Anything that's excessive. One of the guys in our church, I saw him at church one day. And I don't think I've ever seen, you've probably never seen one of these out here in Saskatchewan. Maybe it's only in the major cities. I don't know. I don't know where this kid got it. He had on a tie, had on a shirt, you know, and so on. He had a tie, and it was about this wide, and it only went down this far. I looked at him and said, "How come you didn't tie your tie right this morning? It stood out. Was it wrong to have that?" The reason it was wrong is because it stood out and took away from the Lord Jesus Christ. It was the thing that you noticed about Him. And I'll tell you, there ought not to be anything in our life that detracts from Jesus Christ. That's what He's talking about right there. The Bible says in 1 Peter 3:4, "But let it be the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price." I know that's talking about a lady, but I tell you what, I think it ought to be applied to some of us men too. I tell you what, when folks look at us, they ought to say, "There's something different about him. There's something different about that person." And I tell you what, we're not finding that in a lot of our churches today. In fact, our churches are doing just the opposite and saying, "Let's just be like them so we can reach them." That's not what God says. That's not what God says. And I'm telling you straight up, that's not the direction this church is going. This church is going to teach and believes that the messengers of this congregation, this community, ought to live right. Why? Because God said so. I'm just showing you what the Bible says here, folks. God said, I'll tell you what, if you've got anything superfluous in your life, you can't go in and offer up those sacrifices there in the Old Testament. You've got to get rid of that. And if we're going to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God, there ought not to be anything that detracts from Jesus Christ in our lives. I don't know what it is for you. I know what it is for me that I have to work on. And by the way, don't we all have them? Don't we all have them? Yeah, we do. I want you to notice next, please, in the next verse of Scripture, or a man that is broken-footed. When I lived in Fort Francis and was pastoring there, I had what is called plantar fasciitis. I don't know really what it is. I guess it's an inflammation of the heel or something. And I had trouble standing on my feet. Now, if I was an Old Testament priest, the member of the Levitical priesthood, and I had trouble standing on my feet, and I was broken-footed, I couldn't go in and offer up sacrifices. You say, "Well, Brother Joseph, how does that apply to us today?" Well, here's what the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 11. "Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand, therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness." It's about time we had some Christians who decided they will stand. We've got to stop caving into the world. We've got to stop caving into that crowd that's putting the pressure on us to change. Our churches have changed too much. He said, stand. And when you have a broken foot, you have trouble standing. And I'm afraid there are a lot of Christians that are spiritually broken-footed. They're unwilling to stand for truth. And if we're unwilling to stand, God said, we're not able to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God. And then in that same verse of Scripture, it says, or one that is broken-handed. The Bible says this in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the Word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. We are to handle the Word of God properly. And I'll tell you what, I am tired of preachers that have twisted and turned God's Word to suit their own desires. And we need some preachers that will stand in the pulpit and take the Word of God and faithfully proclaim the Word of God and preach it properly. And I'll tell you what we need. We need folks who will walk out our doors and go into our communities and say, this is what the Bible says. And we're going to stand on that. We don't have enough of it today. We need to get back to that. We need to have folks who will handle the Word of God properly and correctly. We need to study the Word of God. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15 says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We need not to be broken-handed. In the next verse of Scripture, God said to the children of Israel, to the Levitical priesthood, He said, you cannot be crooked-backed. Crooked-backed. Now, some of you may have noticed this with me. It probably would disqualify me had I been an Old Testament Levitical priest. It would probably have disqualified me from going in and offering up the sacrifices in the tabernacle. When I was in Pickle Lake, I injured my back by trying to move a piano because of my... what would you call it, dear? lack of waiting on somebody. Maybe that's a nice way of putting it. my impatience. I had to have surgery on my back 20 years after that. And then just over two years ago, I fell and broke my back in two places, fell off a ladder. I'm struggling with my hip. Brother Sikansky and I talked about that today. And you may see me just limping or leaning to this side because of a back problem. I don't walk straight sometimes. Well, you know what we need today? We need some Christians who are going to walk straight. They're not going to be crooked out there in the world. It is so sad. And I tell you what, we've got a number of preachers here, but I bet preacher after preacher could stand up and tell stories of people they went to see, and they've had people say to them, does so-and-so go to your church? Oh yeah, they go to our church. Well, don't expect me to come until they come pay their bill. And we come to church on Sunday, but we get out there and we're crooked. We don't keep our word. We don't tell the truth. We're dishonest with those out there. The Bible says in Romans chapter 12, verse 17, recompense to no man evil for evil, provide things honest in the sight of all men. Listen, we ought to have a good testimony out there. We ought not to be able to say, oh, that so-and-so, if he goes to your church, I want nothing to do with it. Because if we're not honest with that crowd out there, we can't offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God. I need to hurry along. The Bible also says he could not be dwarfed. That is one stunted in his growth. Pastor Harness, who is with us tonight, has a son who has that problem. And had he been an Old Testament Levitical priest, he would not have been able to go in and offer up the sacrifices. Of course, that's not what it's talking about in the New Testament. His son is a faithful servant of the Lord. But what's it talking about here? Well, here's what the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 11. Of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, saying ye are dull of hearing. For when the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. I was talking to Malia, I think it was today at lunch, about your brother's children.
and how small they are, and how I'm sure that's very difficult for your brother. But shouldn't it be difficult for us when we see Christians who aren't growing, who are still babes in Christ? I want to ask you a question. Are you growing and changing to become more like Christ? Every one of us should be growing and changing to become more like Jesus Christ every day in our lives.
Right.
Are we still babes? Are you studying the Word of God as you should? Following the principles that are found there? Growing? Making decisions? You know, that's what an altar is for. The reason we give an invitation, and we have these chairs here, and there's chairs across the front, is so those of us that are saved can come and say, Lord, you've spoken to my heart, and I want to get something right that I need to take care of in my life. That's what it's for. That ought to be a good thing in our churches. But sadly, in most of our churches, nobody ever uses the altar anymore. We say, well, I can just get it taken care of here in my seat. We could, but we don't. We just walk out the door and Satan takes it right out of our heart and we continue to live the very same way we lived before. That's not the way it used to be in our churches. It used to be we used the altar and we made decisions that made changes in our lives. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 1 says, And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither are yet now are ye able, for ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envy and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? Dwarfed. Not studying the Bible. Not growing as a Christian. Can't offer up spiritual sacrifices that way. I need to hurry along. The next thing that disqualified an Old Testament priest was to have a blemish in his eye. This is one who had trouble with his eye, couldn't see properly, and a lot of Christians have eye trouble. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 10 says, Only by pride cometh contention, but with the well-advised is wisdom. Isn't it a shame how we just don't see it, seem to see some things clearly? Because we don't want to. 1 Peter 5:5, Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you, be subject one to another and clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. I'll tell you, I wonder how many of us tonight have an eye problem. We're just not willing to give in to God because of our pride. Another issue is scurvy or scabbed. You know what a scab covers? It covers a wound, doesn't it? There's something underneath that you can't see. Scurvy is a deficiency of vitamin, I believe it's C. And it's something no one can see. And there are those secret sins that nobody knows about but us in our lives. We keep them hidden from our wives, our husbands, our children, our parents. And we just think it's okay because nobody knows. But God knows. They're not hidden from Him. And in the Old Testament, if there was one that had a scab or an unseen illness, something that was covered up that nobody really noticed, they couldn't go in and offer up the sacrifice. And I wonder tonight how many of us here in this place, we want to offer up spiritual sacrifices, but we are disqualified because of secret sins that nobody knows about but God. The Bible says if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar and His word is not in us. There's one last thing that disqualified one of the Old Testament priests, and that's found in verse 20.
or crook-backed, or a dwarf, or he that hath a blemish in his eye, or be scurvy or scabbed, or hath his stones broken. If an Old Testament Levitical priest could not reproduce children, he couldn't go in and offer up sacrifice. My friend, how many children are we reproducing in the Christian life? How many gospel tracts are we handing out? How many folks are we telling about the Lord Jesus? How much effort are we making to witness to somebody and share the gospel with them? The Bible says that if an Old Testament priest could not reproduce children, he couldn't go in and offer up sacrifice. Don't you think that it is difficult for us to offer up spiritual sacrifices if we're not interested in seeing other people saved? And yet the vast majority of Christians today never witness to anybody and share the gospel with them. Look, if we're going to be the messengers for the Lord Jesus Christ, if we're going to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God, don't you think we ought to consider these things? Do you think God just put this in the Old Testament for them? No, the New Testament says the Old Testament was given for our example, for us to learn from. It is there to help us. And I honestly believe I'm right on this. There's the Old Testament priest. There's the New Testament priesthood according to 2 Peter chapter 1. And it's for those of us that are to be messengers carrying the gospel, the message from the Word of God to the community. Are we offering up spiritual sacrifices acceptable and well-pleasing to God? Or are we just going through the motions? Let's really consider it. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. I'm going to pray here in just a moment. I'm not going to linger long. I know I've gone just a few minutes over. My first question is this. I want you to listen carefully. Are you saved? Do you know for sure your sins are forgiven? My friend, if you do not know for sure that your sins are forgiven, you're on your way to heaven. You need to be saved. I encourage you to come. Let someone take the Bible and show you how to be saved tonight. We can help you if you'll let us. There is no better place for you to be to trust Christ than in this place tonight, because we have all stood where you stand. Every one of us that are saved, we've stood where you stand. Dear Christian, there's not one of us in this room that measures up in every one of these areas. Let's just plain face it. Now, I don't know how God may have spoken to you tonight, but if He spoke to you, will you take care of it? I mean, the reason that He has spoken to you this evening through His Word is because He loves you and He wants you to be the servant and the messenger that you ought to be. Will you not respond and take care of that tonight? Will you not do that? In a moment, I'm going to pray, and we're going to quietly stand our feet, and Brother Goff's going to come to the piano and play. I think it's "Have Thine Own Way." Lord, it is. He's going to play that. Will you let God have His way in your life tonight? This front row is open. These chairs behind me are open. Will you get on your knees and do business with God tonight? And become a New Testament priest that's able to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God. Father, bless this invitation. Work in hearts. Lord, I've not felt like I've really done very well tonight. But it's your word. You've asked me to preach it, and I have. Lord, I pray you've spoken to folks. If there's one here unsaved, help them to come and take Pastor Holloway by the hand and say, "Pastor, I want to be saved. I want to talk to somebody." Lord, I pray for Christians to get on their knees and do business with you tonight. Bless this invitation in Jesus' name. With our heads bowed and eyes closed, no one looking around.
I know there was one pastor that told Scott.